Yesterday, we have to tell a story before we go on about tefillah. One of my favorite stories about Rav Pinkus. Rabbi Yisrael, listen to this. It's chashev, very sodistic. We discussed tefillah yesterday, and the tefillah that we're describing over here is the tefillah of tzaka, of crying out, almost like a desperation tefillah. And this is found. This story is found. I saw this story. Found in the Haggadah that I enjoy very much, touched by the Seder. It's one of my favorite stories, my favorite Haggadahs. And you gotta hear this, Liza. There was a student of Rav Pinkus who was not able to have children. Alpiteva. And he and his wife had gone to every doctor, the best specialists, all the different clinics. They'd try to do everything in their possible means, whatever they could do to have children, al piteva, and it just didn't happen. And one time, this Talmud came to Rav Pinkus after years and years of not having children. And Rav Pinkus said, "Okay, come. I'm going to pick you up at 10:45 p.m. tonight. Friend asked, be ready." "Rebbe, where are we going?" "Just be ready. Be ready." He's ready. Rav Pinkus pulls up on time, and they start driving. All of a sudden, they turn off the main road, and they start going into windy roads. And the guy's totally lost now.
Isn't
there Yisrael? Yisrael. The guy's totally lost. He has no idea where he is. And he's like trying to figure out, like, how am I going to backtrack back out of here? No clue what's going on. And Rav Pinkus is just driving. And they come to this middle of nowhere, deserted area, Legamre, from nothing. Rav Pinkus says, "Go out of the car. I'll pick you up in half an hour." And his Talmud looking at him like he's totally lost his mind. "Rebbe, what's this all about? What are you doing?" He says, "Go out of the car, I'll pick you up in half an hour." Goes out of the car, scared out of his mind, looks around, doesn't know what to do, where to start. Looking at his watch, waiting for Rebbe to come back, waiting. Finally, half an hour later, Pinkus drives up in his car, lights beaming on him. He sees his Talmud, says, "Okay, Rebbe, what's going on over here?" He goes, "Buddy, let me explain something to you." He said, "You've been to all the doctors, they couldn't help you. You've been to all the specialists, they didn't do anything for you. You've got for every bracha from every Rebbe and every gadol that you can get a bracha from, and still you haven't had children. Pour out your heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Spill your heart out to Hashem. This is your only hope. There's no other hope, nothing else to do." Pinkus goes back in reverse and pulls the car away. And the guy goes, his student goes into the bushes and starts crying. Starts crying his brains out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bawling his brains out. He loses track of time. Pinkus comes back. He's looking for his student and he can't find him. And he's like, "Uh-oh, what's going on over here?" And finally, like after a certain amount of time, the Talmud emerges in the bushes, eyes totally, totally bombed from crying out every possible tear inside of them. Gets into the car. Rav Pinkus looks at him. It's okay, now we can go. Doesn't say a word to him the entire time they're in the car. A year later, to the day, the family was blessed with a baby boy. A year later. That was soaked with the tears of tefillah, of a person realizing there's no one off to turn. And the Mitzrayim, This is the kind of tefillah Adam Mitzrayim, but it's Tzaka Hashem al Kehav Hoseinu. Tzaka. You cry out, you realize, I can't, my neighbor, who I thought was my friend in the government, he can't help me. And this guy, he can't help me. And this is sort of both of the tefillah of feeling a certain dependency on a Kodesh Baruch Hu, feeling that there's nowhere else to turn. It's true, my parents may have means, they can help me out financially, it's true. But I'm lost. I'm on my own. I need you, Hashem. That's the tefillah. That's the tzaka that the Seder is talking about. It's probably in the Haggadah also. It's probably quoted in there also. That ma'isa. It's a chashuv ma'isa. Okay, let's move on over here. So we have a lot of very exciting new Divrei Torah for today that I didn't say over the past years. I saw them last night and then this morning on the way into yeshiva. The Haggadah continues. Vayishma Hashem es kolenu. Hashem hears our voices. Hashem heard their cries. Hashem remembers his bris, It's Avram, it's Yitzchak, there's Yaakov. Fine. Now the pasuk now explains these parts. Vayares Anyenu. What's Vayares Anyenu mean? Hashem saw our affliction. Says Chazal, Zo Prishus Derech Eretz. What does that mean? Zo Prishus Derech Eretz. That refers to the fact that Klal Yisrael separated from their wives. Shenemar Vayar Elokim as Bnei Yisrael, Vayida Elokim. Hashem saw Bnei Yisrael, and Hashem knew. Vayida Elokim. What in the world is trapped in this pasuk? Vayar Elokim as Bnei Yisrael. Hashem sees. Vayida Elokim, and Hashem knows. So I have in front of me a very nice Haggadah, the 119th portion. Not on every single line of the Haggadah, but it quotes from the beginning, from the first page to the last page of the Haggadah, 119 different svarim. One of the svarim that it quotes is a parish called Minchas Aron. He explains, what does it mean, Prish Derech Eretz? What does this mean, they separated from their wives? What's this referring to? So you see, he quotes the Chazal. We know that Rashi brings in Parashat Shmos, in Perek Beis, Vayilech Ish, Mi Beis Levi, Vayikachas Bas Levi. What happened? There was a decree. All the males are going to be killed. So what happened? The men started separating from their husbands after what? From their wives, I'm sorry. After what? After Amram did the same thing. Amram said, listen, what? We're going to have children and they're going to be killed. They're going to be thrown into the water. That's crazy. No way. So what happened? Amram separated from his wife Yocheved. Once everyone saw the Gadol Hador separate from his wife, they also decided to separate from their wives. So comes along Chazal say, this is a chat over here. Vayar Elokim es Bnei Yisrael. What's Vayar Elokim es Bnei Yisrael? Hashem saw. Why did Hashem see? Because for husband and wife, if they have a good marriage, that is Hashem, to be separated is painful. Husbands and wife don't want to be apart from each other. So, but Klal Yisrael wasn't going to complain to Hashem about that. Because they were embarrassed. It's not the most pleasant thing to say, Hashem, and I want to be reunited with my wife. It's an embarrassing thing to say. So that's why Yar Elokim is Bnei Yisrael. Hashem saw that. Without Bnei Yisrael davening for that, Hashem saw that. What's Vayedai Elokim? The next part of it? Vayedai Elokim is, once they came back and they returned with their wives, once Amram married Yocheved again, and then what happened? What happened? They all remarried their wives again. Then, which came back? Which pain came back? The pain of the affliction, the pain of kol abena yilod, every child they orat ashtechu, that they're going to throw them into the Nile, because they were having children and they were forced to go ahead and take that which they had worked hard to have and throw it. That's why Yeda Elokim, to give a hint to that part. So he learns pshat in that pasuk, two different aspects. One is Ayar Elokim es Bnei Yisrael, Hashem sees the pain of the husbands and wives being separate, because that is a painful thing. Ayeda Elokim is once they remarried each other, once they got back together, so then what happened? So then they were back to the old tsar, and that Hashem knew that tsar. Now God continues, that's Amalenu. What's Amalenu? Our toil. Like Amelus Batorah. That's Amalenu Elo Abanim. This refers to the sons. Kimash and Amar, as it says, Kol Abein Hayilod Hayeora Tashlichu. Take your child and throw all the boys into the river V'chol Abas Techayun, and all of the girls, daughters, are going to live. So the Mefarshim point out the following thing. What's Pshat? Amalenu is Banim. What does it mean? Amalenu, our toil is our sons. Why? So there's a picture of the Ritva over here. The great Rishon Ritva. And he writes the following thing. Pashup Shah. I think it's so true. I'm a parent. I can tell you from experience. I am a parent. Baruch Hashem. And the toil that a parent does most is for their children. Kikama ha'odam yageya legadlam ulandam derech eretz v'torah. How much does a person toil to train his children? To teach them, to raise them. To teach them derech eretz. To teach them Torah. You work hard in life so you can go ahead and leave over for your children hopefully some means, some support. That's the pshat. And the pasuk pshat, that's amalenu el abanim. The real toil that a person does in this world is for his children. Pshat. And for Klal Yisrael to go ahead and see that that toil that they did for their children was going down the tubes, oh, give out. How painful is that? There's nothing more painful than a person to go ahead, like we discussed a little bit yesterday, to work so hard for something and then watch all of his efforts go down. That was Pisa Ramses we discussed yesterday. Pisa Ramses, where so much effort built in and then quicksand. You work so hard and you watch yourself like the guy turning in the middle we discussed yesterday. Turning and turning and turning. What's on the other side? Absolutely nothing. How disheartening is that? How painful is that? So for a person to be mashkiya to their children, we should never know from this. But you know what? When I think about this, this comes to mind. There's a big phenomenon out there, unfortunately, of children, teens at risk. What they call in this country the no-shrim. No-shrims are the dropouts. People that didn't make it in school, that took to the streets at a young age.
In the Frum community?
In the Frum community, it's also very popular, unfortunately. I have a neighbor. I have a neighbor who has a lot of children, many, many children. And one of his teenage daughters, he's a very Frum guy, very Frum. And she's rebelling. She's not dressing the dress that they dress at all. She's not walking the walk that they walk at all. And mamish, whenever I see him and I see her on the street, my heart, mamish pains, my wife. And I just like, paying for them. Why are we paying for them? Because of this part of the Haggadah, that's Amalein Ila Banim. Because all a person works so hard to do, what's it all worth for you? A person can make so much money. The cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. The little boy blue and the man on the moon. I'm done with with that niggin for now. But what's the story of that song? You could work so hard for what? You work so hard so you could, Bezal Hashem, have a chance to raise your children, to take care of your children, to metabolize your children, to bring them up properly. And if a person, Rahman al-Islam, has all that, and unfortunately has all that suffering, Rahman al-Islam, Hashem Yirachim. What's V'chol Abbas T'chayun? Why does it say that in the Pasuk? V'chol Abbas T'chayun. Why do we need that part? Don't we know that if the boys are going to live, the girls are, if the boys are going to be thrown into the river, the girls are going to live?
Yeah, maybe they thought while they were killing, they just
killed
all the Jews.
No, but it says, so why does the pasuk have to come along again and say,
because then, like,
when Miriam
comes to Amram,
it's true.
It's a pretty big part of,
okay, but I'm asking, I hear you saying, but why does the Torah have to go ahead and God have to tell us, once we know that the Bens are going to be killed, called Ben Ayilod, so then we know by definition that if we're only killing the boys, the girls are going to be around. So why does the Pasuk have to emphasize, V'chol Abbas T'chayun? Hear that question? What do you say? What's Pshat? So if Gifter Zatzal, the Rosh Yeshiva of Tells, suggested the following Pshat, he says, you might have thought like Yoni said, Hava Amina, that what? They would kill all the Jews. No. Look, the gift there, the pshat is, they wanted Davka to keep the Jewish women alive. Why? Because they saw, look at the supernatural kohos of these Jewish women. 6 children at a shot, and they're healthy. Like we discussed, my God, earlier, Godol, Atzun, they were not only 6 at a time, but there were 6 healthy kids at a time. Each one was stronger than the next. Whoa! Let's build an Egyptian, a Jewish Mitzrayim. Let's take these Jewish women and have them have the babies of all these Egyptian men. And Gaval, like what an Egypt we're going to have. So it was part of the plan. It wasn't just, if you're going to kill the boys, Mimeo, the girls are going to be left. No, let's take care of the girls. Let's give them chiyus. Let's give them extra chiyus, because that will raise the best culture of Egypt will be from the Jewish, strong Jewish women. The Torah says in Parashat Shmos, and the Yaldos are approached by Paro, and Paro says to them, hey, what are you doing? What do they say back? Who remembers Parashat Shmos, Perek Beis, Pasuk, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Tazayin, Yud Zayin, something like that? What does it say? Ki Chayos Heina. What does that mean? They are not animals, Chas V'Shalom, not animals. What does it mean? It means they're, Rashi says, they're Meshulim L'chayos. They have such koach. Binyamin Ze'ev Yitrov, Guraya Yehuda, they have the kochos of animals. Animals, as soon as they have children, what happens to those babies? They're ready to go. Look at these women are having babies and they're booming like animals have babies, as Rashi and the Pasuk. That's the pshat called bas lechayon. Kishmat, no? Kupshat. Kifter. Kishbaldi kupshat. John, kupshat. Not this John. Other John. This is this John, not that John. Okay, good. Right there. We move on to the Agada. Yes, lachatzenu. What's lachatzenu? Our lachatz. What's lachatz? Pressure. Pressure. Says the Agada Zohar d'chak. This refers to d'chak. This is a strange part of the Agada l'chora. This refers to pressure. Kimosha ne'emar v'gam ma'isi es ha'lachat Hashem etzayim lochatzim osam. The obvious question is, what is being added by this pasuk? It says, v'es lachatzenu z'adchak. Kimosha ne'emar, as it says, v'gam ma'isi es ha'lachat Hashem etzayim lochatzim osam. It's like saying, v'es lachatzenu, and the pasuk says, v'gam ma'isi es ha'lachat. Like, what's the pasuk coming to add on that we don't see in the pasuk in Kisavo? V'es lachatzenu z'adchak. My kamasha, what's being added by the Baal Agada? So for this we turn to a parish in the Agada over here. The Ritva again. It says the Ritva. When the Mitzrayim saw that they couldn't destroy Klal Yisrael, they figured, you know what we're going to do? Let's pressure them to retract from their emuna, and at least if we can't destroy Klal Yisrael, at least let's have them intermingle with us. He says, Dechak refers to Shmad. What's Shmad? What's Shmad? Shasa Shmad. What's Shmad?
Destruction.
What kind of destruction? Not physical destruction, but
spiritual destruction.
Right, which is like, unfortunately, Shasa Shmad is a time of, let's say, when there's a decree against Jewish worship. Zeo Shamar Vagamar Yisus Alachatz, Kizeo Sif Lidachik Ligala Meira. What caused the Gula to be hastened? Says Ritva, it was the Lachatz. Ki Yari Anochi, Hashem was scared. Shema lo yuklu lamo b'nisayim. Maybe they're not going to be able to what? Stand up to the test. Ki kvar eschilu lis ari v'mayim k'tzas. Ulevatel brismila. V'lelechas achari ha'kochos al yonim ha'kshavim. They started going after Mitzrayim's ways. Hashem says, I better get them out of there fast. So the d'chak helped Hashem, kav yachol, caused Hashem to take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim earlier. Because the spiritual pressures were coming on. They couldn't destroy us physically, but they wanted at least spiritually to get us. Come on! Come to the parties. Come to the non-Jewish parties. Come chill with us. Come with your friends. Like we discussed already. Vayareyu osana mitzvah. They became our friends. That's the dangerous thing. That's what the Haggadah is adding on. That's lachatzenu z'adchak. And now we move on to one more pasuk in the Haggadah. This is the last pasuk at the Haggadah Dashan. This is the pasuk of Vayotzeinu Hashem Mitzrayim. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Yad Chazaka. Who was running to you? Of Mora Gadol of Osos and Mofsim. And this pasuk carries with it a lot of explanation in the Haggadah. Because first we're going to explain Vayotzeinu Hashem Mitzrayim that Hashem did it Himself. And then we go on to describe what Zerua Netuya, Mora Gadol, also to Movsin, that brings us to the Makos, and then Alachas, and then that brings us to Yossi Aglilia, Elazar, and Rabbi Akiva's version of exactly how many Makos happened in Mitzrayim and then the Yamsuf, straight to Dayenu, and then we're already done with the first. The Agadah is basically over. This is the end of the Agadah. This last pasuk in the parasha of Bikurim, which happens to be in the parasha of Bikurim, the second to last pasuk. The last pasuk is actually the pasuk that we don't say. The pasuk of Ayavien al Makom Hazeh, which is a very good question. Well, we don't mention that pasuk, but I'll call upon him. Here's the last pasuk. Let's start it today, and Bez Hashem will try to get through more of it tomorrow. Ayavien Hashem Mitzrayim says the mal says the balagod aloi de malach veloi de sarach veloi de shaliach ella kadosh baruch hu bechvodo. Uva'atzmo shenemar va'avarti be'eretz Mitzrayim b'layla hazeh v'ikisi kol b'chor be'eretz Mitzrayim b'el ha'behima v'b'chol Elohim Mitzrayim e'eseh shfatim ani Hashem. And the puzzle, this goes on and on. In case you missed the first time, it continues and says v'avarti be'eretz Mitzrayim b'layla hazeh ani v'lo malach v'ikisi kol b'chor be'eretz ani v'lo sarach v'b'chol Elohim Mitzrayim e'eseh shfatim ani Hashem ani v'lo ha'shaliach ani Hashem ani v'lo acher. There's a major, major dogish. What does dogish mean? Emphasis, thank you, on the fact that Hashem Himself took us out of Mitzrayim, not with a shliach, not with a malach, and not with any other means. And the question is, what's the pshat? What's the pshat? Why is such a focus on the fact that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim himself and not with any other Malach, Saraf, or Shaliach? And we're going to start this today. I'm going to tell you a few ideas about this today. I'll hear from you first if you want to say pshat, but then I'll tell you, otherwise I'll tell you a very nice pshat, a few nice pshatim. Tomorrow I'll add some more to this. There's a lot to say about this topic, but we'll start today, say a few classic answers today, and then tomorrow I'll give you two more dinner about two more very, very beautiful ideas on this topic tomorrow also. Very nice pshat. What if I were to ask you guys, why is this God such a big deal? There was Hashem, not a Malach, Hashem, not a Saraf. And if it would have been a Malach or a Saraf, would you have complained? Would we have known the difference? Who cares whether it's Hashem himself or whether it is a Malach, a Saraf, or a Shaliach? What do you want to say, Yonz?
Like, once Hashem's doing a Nes, like, he's going to do it himself, just make it, like, very open. Everyone could see it so no one could, like, deny it, like, later on.
Very nice. I like that. It's a nice thought. To make it clear that it's Yad Hashem. Very good, Yonz. Yeah?
To show his love for Israel.
Oh! That's one of the very nice questions. Did you say something?
So maybe in the room with the PSX about how no one, the like a Malach can't carry, like they can't take the sins upon themselves, and we're on like the 49th level of Tumah.
Oh,
so we need only Hashem.
Very nice. Because these are two very, what are you going to say? Like, Alex, good. So let's speak out of those two Pshatim, two famous Pshatim, very good. Very, very MS, both MS Pshatim. Shot one. We'll go in order of in backwards order for now. We'll end with Yosef for now. One shot that the Mefarshim say is that Klal Yisrael were in Mitzrayim. We're in a very, very bad place. So how bad were they? So it says, this is, I'm going to spice your shot up in the following way. It says that Hashem went ahead and took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Lavo. There's no Mac to take expenses. I can try to get you some food though, instead of paper. It says in the pasuk. It says in the pasuk, Hashem comes, lakachas lo goy mikerev goy, to take a nation out of a nation. What does it mean to take a nation out of a nation? So the Mefarshim learn pshat. The Medrash says, listen to this. Bnei Yisrael was so entrenched in Mitzrayim that it was as though Hashem had to go ahead and have a birth. When a baby is inside of a mommy, it was Baruch Hashem Zohar to witness this just 9 weeks ago. A baby inside of a mother. It's partially like they're inseparable. It's not like the baby doesn't even exist without the mother. The baby is literally the nourishment of the baby comes from the mother. They're mamish one entity. Mommy and baby are one when baby is inside mommy. Klal Yisrael was such a part of Mitzrayim that they were inseparable. They were mamish one entity, one unit of Mitzrayim and Klal Yisrael together. They were so mixed up, so mixed in with Mitzrayim. And they were one entity. Hashem had to come and basically give birth, deliver Bnei Yisrael out of the stomach, kavyachol, of Mitzrayim. And it couldn't be a Malach. The tumah was so great, Chazal say, and the Farshim explain, even a Malach couldn't go into Mitzrayim. Even a Malach that would have gone into Mitzrayim would have been affected by the tumah of Mitzrayim. Wow! That's one pshat. There was no Malach that was suitable, that was capable, that was roy to do that shlichus. That's one pshat. Very nice pshat. Second pshat, Yosef pshat, is the following pshat. Hashem could send the Malach in Baya, and the same job would have been done. But Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kav Yachol, wanted to show us something. Mashal, I think it brings mashal in the sefer. Could be. If not, I heard it from somebody else. Mashal ma'adav adomeh. The kid's away from his parents the whole year, and they're gonna go home for Pesach. Parent hasn't come to visit his kid once the entire year, and they're landing not at 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. They're landing. The kid's landing, please God, at a normal hour, 9:00 a.m. Parents live 10 minutes away from the airport. No problem for them to come. There's no work that day. Everything is seder gamor, chill. The house is clean. All the other kids are at school. No problem. And instead of the mother or father that hasn't seen the kid for the whole year coming to the airport to pick up the kid, and they have plenty of time they have to do it, they send the maid to go pick up the kid. They send a car service, a little sign. Alex Rodriguez, you know, A-Rod, whatever. You come and dus. So does he get home the same way? You get this father's nation. Is there a difference? Yeah, big difference. In one scenario, the parent shows the love for the child. Same exact result happened. The kid's luggage got into a car, and the car came to the house. But in one kid, the parent says, "I missed you so much. I love you so much. I wanted to come get myself." Hope I'm not putting any parents in trouble over here. I'm sorry if I did. But in the other situation, the kid doesn't feel the love, and the parent's not showing the love. And again, if something comes up, the parent can't do it. They can't do it. But if they can do it, they don't do it, and they send somebody else to do it, so the love is certainly missing from the parent to the child. Or at least it's not being shown or displayed. Maybe the pshat is because the kid said he wants to come back on a bet, and the parent's trying to show the kid that they don't want the kid to come back on a bet. So it's like, I'll show you, you show me. I was just joking. I was joking. But not on tape for sure. I'll call upon him, Rabbi. So this is the second shot over here in the Hashem doing himself not a shaliach. Let's pause here for today.